Amen. All right. Praise God. Now, by the way, those who are listening to us by internet, we do have the, it's such that you can, on our website, you can give as you sow, as you get in the Word of God. The Bible says it's okay if you get sown spiritual things that you can sow back natural things. So that's up for you. All right. Now, let's deal with this. Tonight, we're still preaching on teaching on faith and living by faith. I forgot what we call the series now, praise God. I'm not going to ask you because you don't know. Living the life of faith. All right, okay. Tonight, we're going to talk about calling things. Calling things. Now, in Romans chapter 10, I'd like to start reading in verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or, who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Praise God. All right? Now, he talks about the word of faith here, which we preach. So, there are some people sometimes are speaking against the word of faith. Why you do that? Here it is right here. This is what Paul preached, the word of faith. All right, now look at this. Watch this now, because tonight I really believe that your eyes are going to be open to some things. We call this calling things. This is a principle of the kingdom of God. And one of the reasons why nations are suffering today, one man said, is because, thank you, the people of the church is not subduing nations using kingdom principles. Okay? Kind of going into the nation, acting like the nation. Now, we're not doing a lot of things that people that don't know God do, but nevertheless, these supernatural principles are not being invoked. All right, now, calling things. When you look at this right here, he says, the word of faith. But what saith it? Verse 8. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, that's confession, and in thy heart, that's what you believe. That is the word of faith which we preach. So that word's got to be two places. It's got to be in your heart, and it's got to be in your mouth. Now, God used the principle of calling things. Let's go back to it. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. All right, look at Genesis chapter 1 and look at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be what? Light. And there was what? Light. Now look at verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. All right? So what did God call darkness? Light. Where was light before it was in the earth? To help me. It was in God. So now God is calling forth light. And this light takes out darkness. All right. Come on down here. Now, God said. Pretty soon you get to verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. Image means exact duplicate of kind. I'm going to make him just like me. He's going to have my DNA, got everything. In other words, I'm going to make someone just like myself. One man said that when God stood up Adam, you couldn't tell the difference between Adam and God. He said, in our image, after our likeness, let us make man to operate just like we do. Okay? So, mankind's modus operandi, the method of operating is just like God. And God said, light what? Be. And light was. Got it? He did not say, woo, ain't it dark out there? Did he say anything about darkness? Nothing. Never came out of his mouth. Never came out of his mouth. Only thing he spoke is what he wanted. Got it? Now, God's word has power over all matter. God's word. All right? God's word is true. Got it? First place, it got dominion over all matter. So when God said, light be, darkness was gone. Because his word has dominion over all matter. God's word is true. In other words, God cannot what? Lie. All right? So sometimes when people are not speaking God's word, they think that if they do, they're lying. But you cannot lie saying what God said. Is this making sense to you here? So now, no understanding of this principle. And you go among people who don't understand it, whether it be church folk or heathen. Now, when I say heathen, I mean people not saved. That's not a put down. That's saying they're apart from God. Then if you don't understand it, you can be talked out of it. Because you don't understand. The Bible says, I think in the book of Proverbs, that understanding brings strength. It's understanding. You got something to stand on. People, even in church, do not know that this is God's way of doing things. Why? Their eyes have been blinded. Jesus was teaching some of these principles, but some people shrunk away. Let me see, can I find that particular where they did that. Yeah, come on over to Matthew chapter 13, please. Matthew chapter 13. Look at verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in what? Parables. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. In other words, what is a mystery? Something beyond human natural comprehension. So it's given unto you to know something that the greatest PhDs in the world without God don't know. Got it? It's given to you to know this. Verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear and shall not what? Understand. And seeing you shall see, but not perceive. For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed or squinted, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and shall be converted, and I shall heal them. So it's amazing how a bright light shines in a person's eyes who have been in darkness. And the first thing you do when that light hits your eye is what? You start squinting. Well, they squinted at the light of Christ and they started backing up. See? Because he was coming with some things that were a mystery to them. And understand, they could have gotten it because if their hearts were right. But their hearts weren't right. And you'll find people today, even in church, whose hearts are not right. It's hard for them to understand stuff. Jesus said, unless you come to me as a little child, many times you can't get this. You come to God thinking you know everything. No, you gotta come with a humility of heart. I'm talking about you gotta have a teachable spirit. Say that. See, none of us knows everything. Well, I listen for things. I listen when I see people maybe on TV or whatever have you, or somebody, you know, I want to listen to, but on TV or something, and I listen. Well, I'm listening for something. I'm looking for something. Boy, this faith conference is going to be pure dynamite. It's going to be the greatest meeting that's been held on this continent, glory to God, in the last 80 years. This faith conference is going to shift the very atmosphere over the United States of America. I am expecting it to release the blessing. It's going to release the wealth transfer. God's people who have been held up, things have been blocked, that thing going to cut loose because of that conference. It's going to be 6 days of pure power. That's all I got to say about that. I'm expecting. All right. Now, this is God's way of nullifying what exists, calling things. Let's go over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. Thank you. Praise God. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. Let me know when you get there by saying praise the Lord. Verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the what? Foolish things of the world to what? Confound or shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are what? Not, to bring to naught the things that are. What does naught mean? Nothing. To bring to nothing. God has chosen the things which are not. What's not? What's not yet seen yet is the word of God. So God has chosen his word to bring to nothing something you can see. So whatever you can see, God has given you a word to bring it to naught. You don't have to say a word about what you see. Only thing you're going to hold in your mouth is what is not seen. And that is the word of God. You're going to take the word of God and speak it till you can't see what has been seen already. Confession is made unto salvation. Isn't that wonderful? Now, what is it that the word of God cannot do? Not a thing, folks. Not a thing. Not a thing. We got to understand this. Wait a minute. There is nothing that the word of God cannot do. If you got the word of God, there's nothing it cannot do. It's the same word that created all of this. Are you with me? All right. Let's go. Now, what are you doing now? You're calling into manifestation the things that the Bible has promised. I got to say that again. You're calling into manifestation the things that the Bible has promised. All right? Now, let's just take an example of that. Let's go to Romans. In Romans chapter 4, that's where we're going to start off, but I didn't want to start there because I wanted to give you a little background first. Romans chapter 4. Lord have mercy. Oh, this is good. Now, it may seem a little funny to call things that you can't see. But you do it in the natural in various ways already. You're looking for your dog. Here's Spot. Here's Spot. And somebody coming up to you say, why did you say here's Spot? I say here's Spot because I want him here. They say, but he's not here. He's there. I know, but I want him here. So I'm going to say here's Spot. All right, let me come over here. That side is a little dull. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Bless you in Jesus' name. Thermostat. Yes, sir. Here it is on the wall. I understand. Right now, let's say it's a little cool in the room. All right? So, I'm going to take it, and I'm going to turn it up. I set that. I understand. It's not that way in the room. But I said it. Got it? Now, because I said that, now it's going to send a signal down into the basement in the furnace. And this is what the signal is going to say. Get some heat up here. Got it? Am I right about it? Next thing you know, here we come. Starts warming up. Once it gets to where that thermostat is set, what does the unit do? Cuts off. See? Confession is made unto salvation, until you can see it. Got it? So I use two examples, calling Spot or calling some heat. Both of them, you said they were here already. When they were really there. But you want them here, so you're going to stay here. Now, God's word demands that you say what he said. If you want what your circumstances are to rise to the level of that promise, you've got to say what he said. You cannot say, I'm going to be healed, because that is acceptable with men, but unacceptable with God. Because if you say that, you don't agree with God. And God can't bless what you don't agree with. Got it? But if you go around somebody and say that, what are they going to say about you? You're not healed. You got what I'm saying? Now, so if you don't understand the principle, you'll back off. Because you want to make sure you're accepted with them. All right? So, let the poor say, I'm rich. Let the weak say, got what I'm saying? That's what he's saying. You got to call things. Now, what is this? It's a principle of God. And because God's people have not been operating in that principle, a lot of the world is still suffering. Got it? All right, let's keep going. Let's do another one. Let's go over to Numbers. No, I haven't read this yet. Pardon me. All right. I'm going to read from verse 16. Technically, I'm going to read from verse 17, but I'm going to read from verse 16 because 16 is very key in terms of the promises, because what we're talking about calling into manifestation are the promises of God. Look what it says in verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Am I right about it? All right. All the seed. Glory to God. Not unto that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all. Could you do something for me? Put that scripture up there in the Amplified translation. Then I'll flip back and go back to the King James for the rest of that reading. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on what? Faith. All right. In order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor. You don't deserve this, but to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants. Let's just stop right there. All right. Look at me. So it's got to be of faith. So faith speaks. And when you're in faith, there is no time. Because faith is always right now. Got it? So whatever the promise is, it's not a future promise. And it's not a future promise because God has already done for you everything he's ever going to do. He saw the future and took care of it. And now God is resting. He's seated, he's finished, and whatever he's going to do for you, he's already done. Now, if he's already done it, you got to agree with the fact that it's already done. So the only thing you're doing now is calling for it. Because it's already done. Your new job, it's already done. Your new business, it's already done. But you can't talk about the future because there is no future in it. You got to call things that... Let's read the next verse here. Look what it says here in verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not come on as though they were. Now, who did God teach this to according to this verse? He taught it to Abraham. Now, this same faith that you've got to have to get the promises that God has promised you. You've got to have the same faith. So he taught this to Abraham. All right? Now, how did he teach it to him? Now, I want to read the rest of that, praise God. But let's go put something right there. And let's go over to Genesis chapter 17, please. Genesis chapter 17. Now, I'm going to tell you something. These principles of faith are so simple, but it takes courage to implement them. Because a lot of people don't want to say what God said, because one thing they think, well, it may not happen. Well, hold on. That's not the first time you've done something that may not happen. But somewhere you got to get over into this. So you've got to get your system. Listen, this is not some new phenomena or some method that is unnatural. This is the method that you were trained in inside of Adam. This is the way you were trained. Now, I'm going to show you this. I'm going to show you how you've seen it in the Bible, but you haven't recognized it. But this is the way you were trained. This is not what you're seeing when you say, I'm going to get healed, is abnormal. What you see or hear when you say, I am healed by his stripes, I believe I've received my healing, that's normal. And because of the perversion of the devil, he's made things that are right seem wrong. Got it? Remember this. If the devil can keep you in the prison of time, he can regulate your life. Remember now, when he was cast out of heaven, he was cast out of eternity. He is now in time, and he can't get out. So his job is to keep you in time so you'll run out. But faith operates above time. And faith dominates time and brings time to a standstill. And instead of you having to do what time says, time has to do what you say. Time can bring your payday out of next week into tomorrow. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying the doctor may give you a certain amount of time, but Dr. Jesus Are you following what I'm saying here? See, remember, we are now talking time because we've been trained in it. You got 2 weeks for this book report. Come on now. Wait, this won't happen. So, see, all of that is because we have been imprisoned by time. We got to wait on time on everything we do. But not so in the kingdom. Time waits on you. Folks, that's why you're seeing so many movies now having to do with overriding time and so forth and so on. Because the God is using the system trying to get the revelation to his people that this is a new day. It just makes sense to you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
time is a cruel master. Cruel.
Yes.
And you've been redeemed from it. And if you're looking at your life through the glass of time, then you're looking through the curse. The first thing happens with faith is you override time. If faith will make it happen right now. I said faith will make it happen right now. You know, I'm gonna tell you something. Folks, we need to get this. What I'm preaching right here, right tonight, this is the key. Because, see, you can't understand time from time. You have to understand time from eternity. And eternity is in your heart. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I know I'm kind of deep for some folk, but you'll get it, praise God. Understanding time is the doorway to miracles. People say, you got to wait. I said, well, the Bible says be patient. Do you know what patience means? It means that you're not moved by adverse circumstances. That you're constantly consistent. It doesn't mean sitting by the dock of the bay, waiting on time to roll away. That means you'll be under time. All right, now, where did I tell you to go? I went to Genesis, right? So here's a man, now he's about 100 years old. He's past the age of childbearing. And here's his wife, 90 years old, and she's never had children. And here comes God announcing he's El Shaddai. The God, not only that is more than enough, watch this, but also overrides natural laws. I'm the God that overrides natural law. He just showed up in your room tonight and tell you, I'm the God that overrides natural law. A natural law is time. So he's about to reset this man's body. Come on, you better come with me. He's about to open up his wife's womb and reset hers. I'm telling you, I know he was working with her because one of the kings, Abimelech, he wanted to take her and take her into his harem. She was 85 then. When have you seen an 85-year-old woman, a king, want to take her into his harem? You better come on. You can see that. Now, are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying that in this, God was now going to override time. I mean, think about it now. Think about if you see a star out there in the heavens. This star is so many billions of miles away. So light travels at 186,000 miles per second. So it could have taken that star light 15 years, whatever it is, to get to the earth. But when it got to the earth, it's not when the light came on.
Right. That's right. Amen.
When it got to the earth is when you saw the light.
Yeah.
The light came on 15 years ago. When your promise is manifested, it's not when your promise was made. The promise was there 6,000 years ago. Is this too deep for you? See, I'm trying to get you to get unlocked of time. Time is not to be your master. You're to master time. And that's what Adam did, and here's a blessing now coming on Abraham, and God's going to do the same thing with Abraham. So now what he says, and I'm not going to hold you long. I'm just, yes, you all just stay with me because I got some examples for you. Calling things is really a good message. It's a key message. All right, so let's just read a little bit of this and let's just see what it says. If you look at the Hebrew writes from right to left. See, it doesn't write from left to right. It writes from right to left. And that is still saying, well, I don't know what it's saying. Praise the Lord, I forgot my point. All right. I could tell you what it's saying, but it's too deep. I don't want to go into it because I want to finish this. Y'all never seen a preacher like that, have you? Well, see, I'm not trying to build anything for myself, you know what I mean? All right, look what it says. Check it out now. Where do I have you? Genesis 17, right? Verse 1. And Abram was 90 years old and nine. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect or sincere. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I'll multiply thee exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of how many nations? Many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name now shall be what? Abraham. For a father of what? Many nations. Keep going. Have I made thee? And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I'll make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I'll establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant be it to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Watch this. And I'll give unto thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, and all the land of Canaan, forever and everlasting possession, and I'll be their what? God. All right. Now notice what he said in verse 5. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name now shall be who? Abraham. And it means father of a great multitude. But thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Let me ask you something. Did he have many nations at that time? Technically. Did God say he had many nations? Yeah. Now God changes his name to reflect the promise. So now Abraham's going around calling himself Abraham. Now the people knew him. And they knew he didn't have many kids. Yet he's talking about he's the father of many nations. Now, what do you think they thought about it? Well, he's getting old now. Are you following what I'm saying? My point to you is this, is that when he started saying that, he might not have believed it all the way. But the more he said it, the more he believed it. And watch this, the more you believe it, the more you're gonna say it. And he is calling things that what? Be not, come on, as though they were. So he called himself a father of a multitude before he ever saw that he was a father of a multitude. Come back to Romans chapter 4, please. I ask you to hold something right there. Look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father, come on, of many nations, keep going, according to that which was what? Spoken, keep going, so shall thy seed be. So what is God doing? He is saying, okay, I've made you a father of many nations. Now you're going to have to say that. You're going to have to say it, Abraham. Now, I know some of these people that work for you are not going to understand that, but you're going to have to say it. Now, I'm not trying to see, have you to come up and be some religious, boasting and trying to show out. I'm not talking about that. You know, certain people, you don't need to say anything around them. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. They ask you something, you know, you don't need to say anything. And the guy, when I was leaving for the mall and the word had gotten out and I'd gone to the barbershop and sat down there and I'm reading the Times or something, you know, just waiting on my turn. And one of the barbers said, "Well, Reverend," and he winked at the other barber. I saw him. He said, "They tell me that you're going to get that shopping mall in Forest Park." You know what I mean? And I'm reading the paper now. I could have gotten into something with this guy. I could have gone back and forth and so forth. I said, "Yeah, praise God." He said, well, what is that, Reverend? Are you going to get that shop? Are you got that? I said, "Well, yeah, praise God." You know, I didn't try to argue with the guy. I didn't jump up and say, "I believe I received, praise God. I believe." He doesn't understand that and doesn't even care. Say amen to that. You can't, don't be trying to convince somebody who doesn't even have the capacity to hold that truth. They don't even have the capacity. You get, when I got saved, folks, I saw all kinds of things in the Bible. I had read the Bible, you know how I read, but I was reading it, to, you know, as a kid, but I didn't know what any of that meant. And the verse that I knew of, we'd say prayers at the breakfast table. Everybody had to say a Bible verse before we ate. Daddy said, "Say a Bible verse." Jesus wept. And that's just about all I knew. But when I got in here, I understood the scriptures. I began to understand. I said, "Wow," pushing the crown of thorns down on Jesus' head and the blood flowed. Wow, that means that we were redeemed from the curse of thorns. And then I saw what it took to reed out of his hand and beat him over the head with it. And now I see that, hey, if you, that reed represents authority. And that if you don't know your authority, the devil will take it out of your hand and beat you over the head with it. Say amen. I'm just seeing revelation, but I had no capacity for that, folks. Before I got born again, I thought speaking in tongues was gibberish. They talking about speaking in tongues down there. I remember I went down to this church. I kept hearing a man talk about praying in the spirit, speaking in other tongues. I said, "You know, let me just listen at this one more time, see what this man's saying." I listen at it again. You know, you keep hanging around the creek bank, you'll eventually fall in that thing. And I listened at it again. And that night I went down there, sneaked down there one Sunday night, you know, like Nicodemus and them, and sneaked down there. And I'm gonna hear what he got. So I sat way in the back, you know, cross my hand. You know, I'm it. I know I'm all that. I know what I'm talking about. I know the Lord. And the man's preaching, and then he start talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues. And I left, and then I came back that next Sunday. Sat way back in the back again, and then I moved up a little closer the next time. Moved up, and then pretty soon I'm moving. General. I want to see his eyes. I want to see, is he lying? And he called for people to be healed or saved or speak or baptized in the Holy Ghost. I didn't know what line I got. I jumped up, got in the line, baptized in the Holy Ghost. The man laid a hand on me. Pow! The power of God hit me. I just went on down on the floor. And I said, "Lord, have mercy, what?" And then... It felt like a party was going on inside of me. Like some people were jumping up and down, having a party. And the American Indian guy standing beside me, and he said, "You want to speak in tongues, don't you?" I didn't even know what I was saying. "Yeah." And he said, "Just start saying hallelujah, hallelujah." I thought, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But before that, I was making fun of it because I had squinted my eyes. I thought I knew everything. And you can't ever think you know everything. The moment you do, you get locked out. You got to be teachable the rest of your life. The rest of your life. All right, look, let me close it out. All right, so against hope, he believed in hope. What does it mean? It means that now in the natural, there is no hope. You might have something wrong with your body. There is no hope. There might be kids who have gotten into trouble. There is no hope. And so forth and so on. And when there is no natural hope, come back to the Bible. Because the Bible will always elevate your hope. It will give you some hope that you cannot get naturally. Look at verse 18 or 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not what? His own body now dead. So you can't consider your circumstances when you're walking by faith. And a lot of times what the Spirit of God, what will happen is somebody will say, well, what if? Well, what if that doesn't? You can't consider what if. You can't do it. I'm telling you, you can't consider what if and faith at the same time. They don't match. Own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, yet not the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the what? Promise of God through what? Unbelief, but was what? Strong in faith. Keep going, giving glory to God. All right, let's look at a couple examples. We'd be done. All right, so calling things. Jesus, he's going to turn water into wine. Got it? That was in John chapter 2. Look what it says in John chapter 2. He said, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. And his mother said to his servants, whatever he says to you, what? Do it. And there was set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece, that's 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus said to them, fill the water pots up with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw out now and bear to the governor of the feast. And they bear it. Now I want you to see something. Jesus said, fill it up with water. And then he said, draw out now. Now notice what he was calling water. Wine. He knew they needed wine. So the way he got it was to call for it. And his faith was released when he said, draw out now and bear it to the governor of the feast. And they bear it, and when the ruler of the feast tasted water, it was wine, he knew that whence it was. But his servants which drew the water knew not whence it was, but the servants that drew the water knew. And the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. He said to him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, and thou hast kept the good wine until when? Now, this beginning of miracles did Jesus do in Cana of Galilee. So what am I saying? It was not coffee, juice. It was water. But Jesus was calling the water wine. Oh, Lord, you're going to see it. All right. The woman who was bowed over in Luke 13 could not lift herself up. Jesus called the crooked straight. Lord have mercy. All right. There. Faith. I'm going to make a statement. Faith sees the end result. I'll say it one more time. Faith always sees the end result. Got it? All right, let's go to one more and we'll be done. Lord have mercy. I got one for you. Look at Luke chapter 17. We'll be done. Luke chapter 17. Calling things. I said, you're going to call things. Because it's already done. You're just calling it. Here's spot. Here's spot. Here healing. Here money. Here contracts. Verse 11, Luke 17. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice started to glorify God. He fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, now weren't there 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that return give glory to God, save this stranger? And he said unto him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Now, what's the problem with Jesus sending lepers to the priest? What's the problem with that? What's wrong with that? They can't go to the priest. They don't go to the priest until they have evidence that they've been healed. But Jesus is calling things. He is calling them healed right now. So now he sent them to the priest because he's called them healed. Watch this. And as they what? Went, they were healed. Got it? Now you got this? Faith always sees the end result. Last word I'm going to give you. Jesus called the dead living. Remember he went to Jairus' house? They were in there crying and everything. Jesus opened the door and said, she's not dead, she's just asleep. They stopped crying and started laughing at Jesus. Jesus put them all out. Watch this. Daughter, arise. She got up. What was he doing? Calling things. Now, here's the thing that I want you to remember. You're not trying to deny sickness. What you're doing is annihilating sickness. You're annihilating. You're taking the word and destroying the evidence of sickness. You got it? You're going to take sickness out of your situation. Glory to God. You are nullifying what exists. So, here's another thing about it. Can I say this? If you don't believe it, it doesn't work. If you don't believe it, it doesn't work. With the heart, man must believe. And with the mouth, confession is made. So, here, what I've taught you tonight, I want you to start using. I want you to start calling things that be not as though they were. Now, wait now. Let it come from the promises of God. Don't be trying to call in somebody's pocketbook. Just understand, we've got to keep this right on the word because the word gives you faith to believe. Got it? So from now on, we're going to call some things. We're going to stop complaining about how bad things are. And once we speak to this mountain, we're going to believe we received when? Right now, when we pray. When we pray, we're going to believe we've received it, and we're going to start thanking God for it. Amen. Father, I believe that I've received my healing. Yes. Now watch this. Don't be trying to make something happen psychically. Because that's what people get into. They get into this psychic thing, you know. I believe, yeah. Don't even do all that. Don't even go that route. Because, Father, I thank you. I believe I've received my healing. Because it is by grace. Put it up there again. This is Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. Put it up there one more time, please. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be by what? Grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. To all the seed. Every promise in there is already for you. Here's what they said. Let us go up at once and possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. Folks, that statement wasn't based on what they could naturally do. But when you confess Jesus, he said he'll confess angels on your behalf. Your behalf. I'm telling you, you put in operation so many forces when you start saying things that God said.
Yes, sir.
Because his word comes with virtue. His word comes with angels. His word comes with the blood. His word comes with grace. Y'all with me?
Yes.
Now, here's the deal. Don't give up. Consistency is the key to the miracle. Just stay right with it. Praise God. You got money owed somebody. You ready to cancel some debts here. You sow that seed and thank God that that debt is canceled. Now, if the bill comes back in the house, pay the bill. Don't be sitting up there. Well, Pastor said that I call things that be not, so I don't have to pay. I ain't paying that. No, they're going to come get your furniture. And what you need to do is realize, wait a minute, hold it. I got to apply love to this and integrity and everything else to it. How do we do it? Do we do okay tonight? My goodness. All right. Now, this is just one principle, calling things. And notice Jesus used it on somebody else, and he used it on himself, calling things. And calling things, that it's not just speaking things, but it's actions as well. You're acting out something because you're considering it done already. Say amen to that. If you pray about something in your house or your marriage or something, and you've considered it done, that means you're not worrying about it anymore. Man, praise God, I prayed about that. That thing is already done. Sometimes I come in and Sundays and so forth, and sometimes the devil try to act up sometimes. But I just step back and remember, I prayed about that. Praise God, that thing is already done. He's just trying to draw me out of my prayer. So I'm going to just keep preaching just like I've been preaching anyway. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, in this, once you start doing this and put pressure on this thing, it's like the enemy doesn't like that because you're about to break through. And when you get a breakthrough, it makes him give up something he gave up. But when you get that breakthrough, he knows you'll tell people about it. And he doesn't want that witness out there. But this principle right here is a very sensible, simple principle. Anybody can use it, and it'll work for everybody. Now, since I have taught you this, you now have understanding.
Yes.
Got it? You now have understanding, and nobody is going to be able to steal it from you. When we were in this last thing, when we were down the other end of the mall having services, and they had half built this property, half built. Now understand, it was open. None of that was there. It was just open. It could rain in and so forth and so on. Mud was in here, so forth, and they were doing some things. Because this whole property used to be a theater that came down just like that. It gets the seats, you know, seats in the theater, how they come down. That this floor had been laid by them. This is not here. I wanted it that way because I thought, you know, if somebody wanted ride a horse in here or bring a car in here. You know what I'm saying? Yes, sir. That's all right. You don't have to. Okay, so anyway, the money had stopped. Something had happened. Boom, the money got cut off. Wow, we're trying to get the money thing started again. Next thing you know, the people start taking away the cranes, start taking away all the equipment. The men start leaving. There was nothing. Now it looked like Bill Winston was about to be a laughing stock. I said, Lord, what do I do? He said, call things. He said, you take the whole congregation on each service that you had. I think we were in three services. He said, you take them, and each service, you teach a little bit and then march them all down here and let them march on this property, because every place the sole of their foot shall tread upon, that have I given them. That they're gonna confirm the promise that I made, that he that has begun a good work shall complete it. That God will not let you be ashamed. And so he said, you take them. I took each one of them, didn't I, baby? March them down here. It was cold too. You know, I mean, you know how it gets cold and windy. And that hawk was blowing in that place, right? But they marched around the thing and so forth, marched them on back. Go to the next one, march around here, march them on back. The next one, march around here, march them on back. Next thing I know, the bank is calling me and said, look here, look like we participated this thing out and some banks are participating. Look like you're going to have that money so you can call those people and let them know this and so forth and so on. Next thing you know, the cranes came back, the men came back. Here you are right now. You got what I'm saying? So right in the middle of that, not only do you have to start in faith, but you have to, come on, stay in faith. You have to finish in faith. You can't back off of faith, because that's your shield. That's the thing that gives you an expected end. Give the Lord a praise. Glory to God in heaven. Woo-hoo! Now, we're looking for investors for this bank. I want you to do something with me. I told you we're going to call things. We're going to call in some investors right now. We're going to believe God for something. I don't know what I'm about to say, but I want you to agree with me that we'll have all we need by the time that we need it. Lord have mercy. I'd like to have it all by Saturday. I didn't ask you what you felt about a bank. I told you to agree with the prophet. Say amen to that. Stand up on your feet. We're gonna praise God. We're going to say something here. I said, we're going to say something here. I'm believing God that this money that we need, boy, this money that we need to bring the capital that the regulators require will be, Lord have mercy, will be all of it, Lord have mercy, will be committed by Saturday. Every dime will be committed by Saturday. We will have our stockholders, our investors, so forth, and will be committed by Saturday. Now, I said this Saturday. I said the 25th of July. Glory to God. June. In the name of Jesus, I cancel July. Get that microphone. Baby, you come on up here. Give me some words for that. Give me, because they're going to repeat the words. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
In the name of Jesus.
Glory to God.
We call forth additional investments, which has been reserved in heaven for Covenant Bank. With the arm of our faith, we draw out. We draw out now. And we command money cometh. Investments cometh in the name of Jesus. We call forth to the ends of the earth the investors and the investments that God has ordained for the storehouse of God. We call them forth now in the name of Jesus. We send forth angels as ministering spirits to bring forth resources that have been ordained from the foundation of the world to grow this storehouse, to spread across nations, and to increase kingdom resources for building God's house and rebuilding waste places in the name of Jesus, that all men will say that we are the seed which the Lord has blessed. May your hand be upon this bank. May God's hand be upon the investors. And may you multiply our seed sown 1,000-fold in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Now, don't come out of agreement. Stay right there. Thank God for it. If he'll send a bird with some meat to feed the prophet, can't you think he'll send some investors with resources? Now, let me tell you what I thought about when she was up here, and I didn't think about this when I called her. But what happened was we were going into a part of our conference the next night, and one of our musicians was Ron Canole. And what happened is he called me that morning, said there was a storm, a tornado in Florida, in that Orlando area, and they can't get out. All the airplanes are canceled. All the highways are like a parking lot because people are so fearful, and he can't get out to be here. I told him, let me take care of it. I came here that night, the night before he was supposed to come, told my wife, pray the prayer of faith. She did the same thing she did right here. That next morning, early, my phone rang at the house. Hey, Pastor, I said, yeah. Brother Ron here. I said, yeah, Ron. He said, looked like a miracle took place here. I said, what happened? He said, the airplanes are flying again. The roads are clear. He said, I'll be there on time. I said, I knew it. Praise God. Now, here's the deal. Don't be critical. Don't criticize. Well, they probably deserve that. Don't let that come out of your mouth. It's by grace. It's not because you've been perfect. It's because he promised it. Stop criticizing yourself. Stop criticizing your children. Stop criticizing your family. Stop criticizing your employees. Start speaking life. Start calling things that be not as though they were. Now give God a praise because it's already done. Praise God. 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 Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Woo! I hear a word. Elebek Shetik. Renge Sete Kandalabaha Sata. Ronda.